Begin the current daven, Sefer Baba Kama, daf Samach Aleph. Begin 14 lines down for the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in the series of these Mishnahs discussing the mazik of hever, of esh, of fire. So the Mishnah qualifies the halacha regarding the liability of a person who made a fire and then it went out and damaged someone else's things. What is considered negligence and what's not? So the Mishnah says, Avra geder shu gavoya dalet amos. If let's say his fire bypassed, went over a wall that was 4 amos high, or went through a path of the public, which are 16 amis, which you learn out of Masechta Shabbos and David Tzadik Chesam and Aleph, regarding the halachas of Haitzah, of Rishos Rabim, from the wagons by the encampments that they made with the Mishkan and the Midbar, which the Gemara there explains was 16 amis. Oy Nohar overpasses a river, Pater, in all these situations, the owner of the fire is going to be exempt, because that's not considered negligence, that's considered something that's unexpected, and if the fire does do those types of things, he's going to be exempt. Now, on one of these halachas, the Gemara asks, but Betanya learned the Braisa that Avra Gedr Shu Gavoya Arba Amis Chayiv. The Braisa clearly contradicts the halacha of Avra Mishnah that says if it passes a wall dalet Amis High, you're going to be liable. And yet our Mishnah said you're going to be Pater. So Amra Papa says not a contradiction. Tana Didan Kechasha Milmal Lamata. The Tana of our Mishnah is going from higher to lower. In other words, the Tana of our Mishnah was saying, Shesh Amis Pater. If the wall that it passes is 6 Amis High, you're Pater. Chamesh Amis Pater, even if it's only 5 Amis Pater, and Ad Arba Amis Pater, and going all the way down to even if it's just a height of 4 Amis, meaning what's called Ad Ve'ad Bechlal, including Dalet Amis, still the owner of the fire is going to be exempt. Now Tana Bra, the Tana the Braisa was going Melmata Lamala Kachashim, was calculating from lower to higher. In other words, Shtei Amis Chayiv, if the wall is only 2 Amis high, you're going to be liable. Shalosh Amis Chayiv, 3 Amis high, you're going to be liable. Ad Arba Amis Chayiv, up until 4 Amis, you're going to be liable. But 4 Amis itself, the Tana of the Braisa agrees that you're going to be exempt because he's going with what's called Ad V'loy Ad Bechlal. When he was saying up until Dalet Amis, he wasn't including Dalet Amis in the liability. And therefore, both Tanoim agree that with Dalet Amis itself, you're going to be exempt. It's just that the Tana of Armish was going with what's called Ad V'ad Bechlal. It was including the Dalet Amis in the liability, in the exemption of from going from greater to lower, and the town of the Bryce was going with what's called Ad V'loy Ad Bechlal up until Dalet Amis, if the walls 2 Amis, 3 Amis, are you going to be Chayiv? But 4 Amis itself, you're going to be Pater. Now, Amar Rava, he qualifies regarding this halacha of our Mishnah, says, Dalet Amis Sha'amr de Pater, regarding this halacha, that we said that if he climbs the wall of 4 Amis high and goes out and damages, you're going to be exempt? That's a filibisodic kaitzim. Says Rava, that's even if the field that the fire jumps to, meaning that it jumps over the fence to that field, is filled with thorns, which is very flammable, very easily get burnt up, and to jump from one thing to itself, doesn't make a difference, you're still going to be potter. Now, however, Amar Papi qualifies this halach of Rava, but umisvas koitzim ulamala dalet amis. There has to be a height distance of 4 amis from the distance of the kaitzim to the height of the wall that is climbing over, because or else, if the thorns are hanging over, then of course you're going to be chayiv. It means that if the wall is dalet amis, and there's that area of dalet amis in height over the height of the thorns, even though what's over there is thorns and very easy to catch on, you're still going to be potter. Moreover, Amar Rav, he qualifies this halacha. He says, lo yishanu, we didn't learn that you're going to be exempt. Ela b'koy lachas. Only a fire that's flaming upward. Of a benechfefes, but a fire that's bent over, which Rashi has two interpretations, either that the wind is bending it over to the sides, which the flames are shooting out sideways, or Rashi brings that nechfefes is a very low down fire, which is going and crawling and scorching the grass and the twigs that are on the ground. So according to either interpretations, but it's a bent over fire that's going horizontal, then Afila said, there says Rav, that even if it passes a derech or shasarab that's very wide, ad mea amma, up until 100 amas, chayiv, you're going to be liable. There, we didn't say this exemption of the distance, or as another interpretation would say regarding the height, that we said that a wall 4 amas high or a road that's 16 amas wide would be enough. Says Rav, that's only if it's a fire that's going straight up, but if it's a fire that's going horizontal, it's going to the side, then even if it's a distance of 100 amas, you're going to be chayiv. Now, Shmuel Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, to the other way around. He says, Masnitin bin Nechfefes. Our Mishnah was talking about that you need a wall, Dalet Amis, that you need a distance of 16 Amis. That's only actually by a bent over fire. of a bekelachas, but Shmuel says, but a straight up fire, a filikoshu part, that they're actually a distance of even just a little bit would make you exempt. So he holds the other way. Rav holds more stringently that actually that the requirements of the Mishnah is for kalachas, but nechfefes, even more you'd be liable. Shmuel says, no, to the contrary, kalachas, even a little bit you'll be exempt. The requirements of our Mishnah is for nechfefes, and that for nechfefes it is enough for a distance of 16 amas in Rishus Rab, and that if it's more than that, you're going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, Tanika Pasei the Rav, we have a Braisa that supports like Rav. The Braisa says, like Rav, it says, did we say the halacha, the Mishnah, that if it passes Derech Rishus HaRab 16 Amos, then you shouldn't have expected that it would go through that and go further. And if you're going to be Pater, says the Braisa, that's Bekai Lachas, but a fire that was going straight up. But if it was a bent over fire, the Eitzim Mitzuyinla, and there was wood there for it to be able to burn up and go in that direction, says the Braisa, Filad Meyam Mil Chayiv, even 100 mil, which is much more that of a distance, you'd still be liable, again, like Rav, that Nechfefes, we don't have the exemptions of the Mishnah, there you'd be liable even more than that. Now the Braisa concludes, Avre Nahar Oy Shalulis, if let's say the fire passes through a river or a Shalulis, which the Gemara surely is going to quote a different halacha to illustrate what is a Shalulis, Sheim Rechav Mechas Amis, which are 8 Amis wide, then again, Pater, you're going to be Pater, again, as the halachas of a Mishnah, that there are certain limitations regarding the liability of fire. Now, the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that said, one of the other exemptions are, if Derech Rabim, if it passes through the path of the public, again, Rishus HaRam, which is 16 Amis, then you're going to be Patur. Ask the Gemara, Mantana, who's the town of our Mishnah? Marava, he says, it's like Rebbe Elazar, who we learned in the Mishnah on Amid Beis, which is actually a four-way Machlekes. Our Mishnah is Stam, like Rebbe Elazar, because Rebbe Elazar, he says, Sheish Esri Amis, Kederech Rishus HaRabim, that then you're going to be Patur, if it passes through an area of 16 Amis, which it shouldn't be expected that it would cross that amount of empty space to go to your friend's field, and if it does, you're going to be exempt. That's what our Mishnah is like. Now, Tosafot points out, that is what's called in Halacha, Stam Va'achkach Machlekes, that an anonymous Mishnah is saying like Rabbi Yezab, and later on we have him for Machlekes, which that always says that you don't necessarily say Halacha Li'Stam Mishnah, it's only if you have Machlekes and then Stam. And that's why the Gemara could be, as it does in Amud Beis, actually says the Halacha is not even like Rabbi Yezab. Now, the Mishnah said, Oy Nahar, or if it passes a river, then again, it's not to be expected. It's not a negligence, and the owner of the fire is going to be exempt. Now, there's machlekes regarding the definition of a river. Rav Amar Nahar Mamash, he says, literally means a river. Shmuel Ami says, no, Arisa Didaloi. It's a reference to a small stream, which is some type of an irrigation canal, which people would draw water and water their fields with it. So the Gemara explains, Manda Amar Mamash, according to Rav, that says, literally means it was a river. That's Avagav de Lekamaya. That would mean, according to his interpretation, even if there is no water in the river, because it's a wide bed, that river, and therefore it would be like Derech Harab, which we said just by having a wide area that we wouldn't expect it to cross that area, that itself would be an exemption, even if there's no water inside of it. But according to Shmuel, it says that it's an irrigation canal, which is not so wide. According to him, the interpretation would be, it's only if there's water inside of it, so we don't expect fire to cross across an area that has water, that's where the exemption is. But according to that interpretation, there's no water inside of that irrigation canal, there wouldn't be an exemption if it crosses it and damages someone else's crop on the other side. Now, Tznan Hassan, the Gemara quotes in Mishnah Maseches Pei, which will reflect on this terminology that we mentioned before regarding Shlulis, that we said if it passes Shlulis, that if it's 8 Amos, you're going to be exempt. So the Mishnah quotes another halacha that relates to and will define what Shlulis is. Mishnah Maseches Pei says, Ve'elu mafsikin lapeya. And these areas separate and they differentiate fields to make it into a separate field to require a halacha of peya for each area. And that is, peya is that when you have a field, you have to leave over the corner of that produce for the poor people. Now, but if a field could be 100 amas, it could be 1,000 amas, 1,000,000 amas, if it's one field, so you leave over one corner. But if they're considered separate fields, then each field would have to have its own payah. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, that these things separate the field into separate fields to require a payah for each one. And they are hanachal, the ravine. And that is, if let's say you have a field on one side and a field on the other side, and you have a deep, deep river that's running in the middle of that, so then you have to leave payah from each one of those fields separately. They're considered separate fields. For Hashlulis, which we're going to shortly define what that is. And V'derech HaYachid, an individual path, which is an area of 4 Amas. V'derech HaRabim, and the path of the public, which again is 16 Amas. Those things will separate fields into separate fields. So ask the Gemara, my Shlulis, what is this Shlulis? So I remember the Mishmuel, he says, is Mokim Shemegeshamim Shailin Sham. It's the place where rainwater gathers over there. Where Rashi brings two different sources that it means gathering, either as we find what's called Shalol Shal Beitzim, which is a collection of eggs, or it's as we find in the Pasuk Bamidbar, Shalol Malkayach, which is a collection of spoils. It means something that's gathered together. So it's a place where the rainwater gathers. Rav Bibi Amar Biyechanan says, it's a reference to Amas Hamayim, a stream of water. Now, where is the term Shalol over there? Because it shears the spoils for its banks. In other words, because it shears from what it has to the fields, and that's what helps make the produce. So that's why it's called the Shlulis. So again, two different interpretations of what the Shlulis is. Either it's where the rainwater gathers together, where it collects, or it's the Amas Hamayim, the stream of water, which it's called Shlulis because it shears from its spoils to the banks. So the Gemara says, "Manda amma makom b'shmei gesham shaylin sham." According to the interpretation, it says it's a place where the rainwater gathers over there. That's considered a separation between the parts of the field as different fields. And so too, regarding the halacha we mentioned before, regarding if it passes by a shlulis, it's considered a separate area. We didn't expect it to go that far. So Kashkin amas amayim, for sure he would hold that the stream of water would be considered a more distinct entity to separate between the fields to make them separate fields for halacha of peah. But says the Gemara, Manda Omar Amas Hamayim, according to the one that says that the Shlulis is a stream of water, of a Malkim Shemei Gesham Mishaylin Sham Leimavsik. But he would hold that the place where the rainwater gathers in these pockets in the field, that would not be considered a separation as if it's separating the other side as a separate field. And the reason being is because the Hanu, because these pockets are where the rainwater gathers, that is, as we continue to Amud Beis, Ba'agna De'ara Mikru. They're just called the bowls of the land. As we find that terminology, ba'agonis, it means in bowls, which is that they're not considered a stream of water, is a separate entity, so it separates them. But here, it's just because there's a indentation in the ground, so the rainwater gathers, so that doesn't make it into a separate entity to separate the fields, and therefore it would hold, that wouldn't require peya on the other side. But either way, that's the two interpretations we have for shlulis. What shlulis is, either it means where rainwater gathers, which is from the term of shalul, or it's amas hamayim, which is a stream of water where it shears the shalul for the banks. Again, those are two would apply to the halacha that we said, that if it crosses over the fire, a shlulis, which is 8 amas wide, that then you're going to be potter. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this mazik of esh, of fire. It says, hamalik b'teich shaloi, and this was related to the Mishnah that we quoted, one of the opinions just before. Hamalik b'teich shaloi, if someone lights a fire in his own domain. At kamat tavar hadleika, how much does it have to pass that it would be considered a negligence, but beyond that, it would be considered an oinus that shouldn't be expected, and therefore he'd be exempt? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I mean, he says, Royan Oisa, we view him, the guy, as he's making the fire, ki'iluhu be'emtza base kor, as if he's in the middle of an area of a base kor. In other words, if he has a half of a base kor in any direction where he is in making the fire, which is 137 amis, then he's going to be potter, because we don't expect him to have thought that the fire is going to reach beyond that, and therefore if he had that amount between him and someone else's field, he's going to be exempt. Now, as Rashi points out, as we explained in the previous Mishnah, that what we're talking about is a fire that's kailachas, that's going up. But if, let's say, it's a fire that's nechfefes, which that constantly burns horizontally and keeps on going at all times, then as we said, even until 100 mil, you're going to be chayev. Here, the halacha that they're qualifying is by kailachas. Now, the second opinion, Belazimer, which was the one that we quoted, which we said our Stam Mishnah on the previous on Amid Alf was going like, he says, Tesayin Amis Kederech Rishasaram. 16 Amis. If you have that area separating between you and someone else, as the path is in Rishasaram, then that's all you need. If it goes more than that, you're going to be exempt. Rabbi Kiva, he says, Chamishim Amis, he says 50 Amis. And Rabbi Shimon, he says, the Pasuk says, Shalom Yishalom Hamavesa Be'era. Pay, he shall surely pay the one who made the fire, which tells us, Hakol Lefiad Leika, everything is according to the fire, which the assumption of the Gemara initially is. What he's saying is, for all types of fires, you got to pay. No matter what type of fire, whether close or far, it says, if you made a Be'er, you made a fire, you got to pay. So he doesn't make any differentiations in regards to the measurement of the distance of the fire. So the Gemara asks on that opinion, V'les L'Rib Shimon Shiur, but Leika, you tell me the Rib Shimon has no measurements regarding what would be considered an exemption of a distance by regards to fires? But Vatnan, we learn the Mishnah Baba Bash that says as follows. Lo yamad adam tana b'teich habayis. A person is not allowed to place an oven in his house. What that means to say is that his city, people that live in the city, can have him refrain from doing that. so that his house doesn't get caught up in fire and then it's a danger for the entire city. Elim Kane, the only way that he would be able to do that, to bring an oven in his house, is if Yesh al Gabay Goyva Dalet Amos, if there is at least a height of Dalet Amos from the height of the oven till the roof, then he could go ahead and bring it in. Now, if let's say he put his oven in the second story, so then then he could only do it if he has underneath him some type of a layer of lime on top of the first story's ceiling, which is his floor, of shleisha tvachim, that of this thick of a floor of lime that's three tvachim, and a bekira, a type of an oven that's a kira, which is less than an oven. It doesn't burn up. They don't burn up things as hot as they do in a tanner. Then it's enough if you have a floor of lime of a tefach. Now vimhizik mishal meshahizik. But says the Tanakama, that would allow you to have an oven in your house. But if it does damage even with that distance, then you got to pay for the damage that was done. Rabbi Shimon, I mean, he disagrees. He says no. Lo yinemru shiurin halolu. These measurements that were said that he's allowed to bring in the oven if he has those distances, that was only said elishim hizig patim elisham, to say that actually that if it damages, then he's actually going to be exempt, because yes, there's no reason to have assumed, and therefore it's not a lot, it's not a negligence, that if he had four amas on top, or he has this floor of lime underneath him, that would think that a fire would happen. And if it does, it's not his negligence, and he's therefore not going to be chayv. So you see, Rabbi Shimon holds that there are certain measurement limitations to the liability. So how do we understand his opinion in the Mishnah? It sounds like in all types of fires, you're going to be chayv. So Amrav Nachman, Amrav Barvu, he redefines Rabbi Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah. When he says, Hakol lefi hadleika, it doesn't mean every type of fire you're liable. It means Hakol lefi goiva hadleika. Everything is according to the height of the fire. In other words, when the fire is a tall and large fire, then it goes to far distances, then you're going to be liable further. If it's a small fire, then you're going to be liable less. So it depends on the height of the fire. As in Baba Basra, we gave limitations in height. Yes, of course, Rabbi Shimon does agree. It's just he doesn't give hard and fast type of demarcations like 16 amos or 50 amos or 137 amos. He says it depends on the size of the fire. But of course, depending on that size, it will depend on regarding the limitations of what the liability is for someone who has a fire. So the Gemara concludes, Amar Bi'isam, Amar Bi'huda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Grib Shimon, Halacha Falz Grib Shimon, depending on the fire, will depend regarding how far is the distance that you should have been expected, and beyond that, you're going to be patur. B'chein Amar B'nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha is Grib Shimon. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this mazik of H, of fire. So the Mishnah tells us, Hamadlik es HaGadish, if someone lights a fire which then burns up his friend's pile of grain, the Hoyuboy Kalim with the Lokoi. Now, inside the pile of grain were utensils, and then they get burnt up. So there's a machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Mishal Masha Betoichi. You got to pay for what's inside also, which got burnt up from the fire that this guy made. The Chacham Eimerim Eina Mishalim Ela Godesh Alchid Noishal Sa'arim. Chacham disagree. They say you only have to pay for the pile of wheat or the pile of barley. In other words, if it was a pile of wheat, you got to pay for the wheat. If it was a pile of barley, you got to pay for the barley, but you're not liable for the utensils that were hidden inside that pile. And the Mishnah continues with the following case. Let's say this pile of grain that was burnt up by this guy's fire additionally had a goat that was tied to that pile of grain. And moreover, that there was a slave that was nearby where the fire happened. And the goat and the slave get burnt up with the pile of grain. Says the Mishnah, so the one who made the fire is going to be liable, not just for the pile of grain, but also for the death of the goat. The reason being, as we learned previously, that living animals are also included from the words oy hakama, either from the word hakama, which bali kama, or from oy hakama, but they're included in things that are erect. There's going to be a liability of eish, so therefore that would include the gedi also. Now, moreover, Rashi explains that although the slave is dying, and generally when there's a death of a person, then the halach of Kimle Bidiramine tells us that, so you're only liable for death and you're not going to be liable for monetary compensation. Here that wouldn't apply, because here the one who made the fire is not liable for the death of the slave, because since he wasn't tied to the pile of grain, he should have ran away. And therefore he's exempt from his death and from the monetary compensation of the death of the slave. That's why he's going to be chayiv, not only for the grain, but also for the death of the gedi. But regarding the Eved, he has no liability, not for monetary, not for the death penalty. But if, let's say, it was Eved Kafaslai, let's say not that the goat was tied to it, but rather the slave was tied to the pile of grain. V'gidi Samachlai, and the kid goat wasn't tied. It was just nearby the pile of grain. V'nisar v'imai, and therefore when the pile of grain got caught on fire, the slave who was tied down to it, he died. And the goat that was nearby also died. So then the halacha is going to be that pater. The one who made the fire is going to be exempt even on the gidi, on the kid goat, and he's going to be exempt on the liability of the pile of grain itself. The reason being is because he's liable for the death penalty of having killed the slave. Because the pasuk says in Shemayis Chaval, if nokim you nokim, which is if someone kills someone else's slave, he's liable for the death penalty. And therefore the halach of kamle b'drabine, which means to say you only get the greater of the two punishments, applies, where since you're getting the death penalty, you're not going to have the monetary penalty. Now moreover, Rashi says, even if the one who made the fire wasn't forewarned, which therefore you can't get the death penalty if you weren't warned beforehand, still he quotes the Gemara Ksubas Daf Lamed Alma Beis that tells us that chive misis shaygin abaturin, something that would have gotten you the death penalty had you done the b'mezer with hasra, with being warned, but you did it by mistake, still you're exempt because you were already in that category of the death penalty. You're exempt even though you're not getting it from the monetary penalty too. Now, one thing Rashi points out, and actually two versions of Rashi, is that halacha really is that regarding the kid goat, there really is no difference regarding if the goat was tied to the bile grain or not. So why does it say in this case that the first case the gedi was tied to it, and the second case it wasn't tied to it, it was just nearby? The reason only is to keep the parallel, since there is a difference regarding the slave if he's tied to or not, because as we said, when he's tied, then you're chayev for his death. When he's not tied, he should have ran away, and you're not chayev. So that's why we said by gedi also a differential between tied and not, but really there's no difference. That's one version of Rashi. There are those who say, that as Rashi quotes, which is the explanation of the Rashbam, brought in Tosfos, is that by actually gedi, it also makes a difference if the goat is tied to or not. And therefore, when we said in this last case, regarding if the goat is nearby, that you're going to be pater, the reason why you're pater is because the goat should have ran away, and therefore, actually, this second case actually is two different cases. In other words, it's either or. Either the slave was tied to it, and that's why you're exempt on the gedi because of kimle bedramine, or, not that both, and that the gedi was samachlai, or the gedi is nearby and it wasn't tied down, for that you would also be exempt on the death of the goat because the goat should have ran away. Now Rashi says, although the Gemara tells in Nafchav Zayin Maralf what's called Shur Kememoyne, that is, if let's say someone puts a coal on an animal, on an ox, and it dies, that then the one who did it is going to be chayiv. Why? If the animal has mobility, it should have ran away, and then you should be exempt, as we're saying over here. And that says Rashi, no, that's because you put on the back of the ox, who the ox couldn't take it off its back, and that's why you're going to be liable for its death. But here, as we're explaining that the goat is nearby, the goat should have just ran away, and therefore, according to the second interpretation that Rashi is bringing, even if it's only nearby, not even if the Eved's attached to the pile of grain, just for the being nearby and not being tied down, the goat should have ran away, and therefore, since it didn't, it's not the one who made the fire's liability, it's going to be exempt because it should have ran away, versus again, the first version says that no, it doesn't make a difference if it's tied or not tied, it's just keeping the uniformity, the case of Eved, where there it does make a difference if it's tied or it's not. Now the Mishnah concludes, however, however, the Chacham, who, although they disagree, and they say that when something is concealed and you don't see it, that then you're going to be exempt by the Mazik of Esh, but they do agree to Rabbi Huda that you'll be chayiv on something that's hidden, but Madlik es Habira. When someone lights a large tower on fire, Shumishalm Komash B'Teicha, that then he has to pay for whatever's inside of it. Because that's normative for people to put things in houses, they put things inside. So although you only see the house, so okay, that means whatever is inside is mechus, it's concealed, and therefore it should be tam meish and pater. And that says the Mishnah, no, that they the Chacham agree that then you're going to be chayiv. Now, regarding this machlokes of Rabbi Huda and Chacham, the Gemara qualifies Amrav Kahana, says, machlokes b'madlik b'toich shaloi. Their whole machlokes was only someone that made a fire in his own property. Then it went and crossed over into his friend's domain and consumed his produce over there. Where over there is with Rabbi Huda Machayev and Niski Tam Beish. Rabbi Huda was saying that you're going to be liable for the damage of things that are concealed. Rabban Apatri, but Rabban said you're going to be exempt. Avimadlik B'teich Shachaveroi, but if someone lit the fire in his friend's domain, where he had no property, and therefore it's like he's actively destroying his friend's things, Says Rav Kahana, their divrei hakol misham kol ma shebetoicha. There, everyone would agree that you would have to pay whatever's inside of it, even what was tamen. The chacham would agree over there that you'd be chayv. Now, the reason for this is, as Taisa explains, is that the rabbanon hold that when you light the fire in your own property, then you're exempt by tamen, is because the pasuk, as we learned, the chacham learned it out from a drasha, which is it says oy hakama, just like the kama, the standing grain is revealed. So, to the liability of Asia is only for what's revealed, not for what's hidden. But that's only what the context of the pasuk is talking about. Pasuk is by kisetei esh, when your fire will go out, which is talking about that when the person made the fire in his own domain, that's where there's the exempt of oy hakama, meaning only if it's revealed, but if it's hidden, then you're going to be exempt. But someone that lights the fire in his friend's domain, oh, there we didn't say any exemption of tamen, there you would be chayv. Now, that Amalei Rava asked him, Rav Kahani, says, Ihachi, if that's the case, the Chum agree that there's a liability of Tamen Be'esh, if he lit the fire in that person's domain, then Adetani Sefer, then instead of the end of the Mishnah saying, that Moedim Chacham Rabbi Yehuda, you know what? The Chum agreed to Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Bemadlik Esabira, when a person lights the fire of his friend's tower, of his friend's mansion, meaning in the property of his friend. And still, what's the reason, what the Mishnah gives the reasoning for that? Why do they agree over there? That he has to pay whatever's inside of it. Because it's normative for people to put kelim in their houses. Now, it would sound like, yeah, it's normal for people to put kelim in their houses, but in their pile of grain, it's not normal. Which would sound like that then the person who made the fire in his friend's domain would be potter. But according to you, the Mishnah should have differentiated in the case we was mentioning before of Gadish al Chaver, of his friend's pile of grain. And they should have said as follows. When did we say that the Chacham disagree and hold that there is an exemption of Tam Be'esh? That's B'madlik B'toich Shaloi. That's when he lights the fire in his own property. And they went and consumed in his friend's property. That's where they said that there's an exemption of Tam Be'esh. But the Mishnah should have said, but if they light the fire in his friend's domain, even regarding a Gaddish, when it's not normal to hide Kalim in that Gaddish, still, that everybody, even the Chum, would agree that you would have to pay for whatever's inside of it, even though it's concealed, because you just said that since he lit the fire in his friend's domain, he's going to be Chayiv, even by Gaddish, where for sure the halakha would be like that by a Bira. But according to you, why does it pick Bira, and it should have continued the bigger Chiddush in the case of Gaddish? Say Elamar Rabbi, rather Rabbi disagreed with Rav Kahana. And he says, "Betarti pligi." There's two machlokes in going on the Mishnah. First of all, pligi b'madlik b'teich shaloi, v'holcha v'achla b'teich shechaver. First of all, that as the basic premise is that, like Rav Kahana said, the machlokes is regarding when he lights the fire in his own property and then goes and consumes from his friend's produce in his friend's property. We're there. The Behuda mechayev atam be'esh. Behuda holds that you're going to be liable, as we learned in the previous daf. They disagree regarding the drasha, if there's an exemption of mechusa or not. So he holds that you're liable for something that's hidden with the mazik of fire. Rabban savi loy mechayev. The Rabban hold that you're not going to be chayev. Now the Rabbanan exempted regarding tamen when it goes from his property into the other person's property, even regarding kalim where it's normal to hide in a gadish, which would apply whatever is normal in the other person's property, because that's exerts a custom, that whatever is concealed by the mazik of fire is going to be potter. Where's Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you are chayv and tamen, and therefore regarding kalim, to his opinion, it doesn't make a difference if it's normal to hide those kalim there or doesn't make a difference. You will mazik it, and you're going to be chayv according to him. That's one machlekes. But a pligi nami b'madik b'shel chaver. But then there's another machlekes they have regarding when you light the fire in the friend's domain. Not like Rav Kahana, who said, oh, there everyone agrees when you light the fire in the present domain, that automatically everyone holds you're going to be chayiv, even though tamen. That's not the case. As he proved, because you see the halacha is only mentioning regarding migdal, regarding a bira, and not regarding gadish. So that he qualifies, the machlekes there is, Rabbi Yehuda saver misham kol ma shebetoicha v'fila arnakir. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're going to be chayiv, whatever is inside over there, even a purse, no matter what's there, when you're lighting in the person's domain, you're going to be chayiv on anything, even if it's hidden. But Rabban and Savi, Rabban hold no. Kalim shadarkan lahatman begodish, regarding utensils as normal to hide in a pile of grain. Kugain, for example, meirigin, which meirigin are these types of beams that have holes in them and there's pegs inside of them and they use it to thresh the produce. Or the clay bucker, or for the utensils used for the cattle. So that's normal to have there with the piles of grain over there. That's where Hud Mishalam. That's where the Rabbanu would agree, again, although when it's in your own property and it goes out to the other person's property, in all situations, hold your exempt. but in someone else's property, something that's normal for it to be hidden over there, there they hold, which is similar to the case of the Bira, which the Mishnah is saying that they do agree, there, since it's normal to hide over there, we don't find that the Pasuk has any exemption on Taman, as we mentioned previously from Taisus, because the exemption of Taman is only from your own property, Kiseitiesh. But in the other person's property, there, yeah, you'd be chayvin on Taman. But that's only by something that's normal to have inside over there. But Kalim Shein Darkan Lahat Min Begadish Loi Mishalam, but the Chum hold, and this is where Rava differentiates from Rav Kahana, but if it's something that's not normal to be hidden inside the pile of the grain, there the Chum disagree with Rabbi Huda, and they hold that there you're not going to have to pay. And the reason being is because they hold that's a logic that you're going to be exempt over there. Because a person should not have entertained that a person is going to put a purse in a pile of grain, and therefore that's not considered a negligence on that purse. And therefore the Chacham hold that in such a case, you're going to be exempt. You're only going to be chayiv on even tamen, which again, only applies the exemption when it's from your own property. But in the other person's property, it doesn't apply, and therefore you would be chayiv. That's only something to be expected according to the Rabbanan, where, let's say, clay merigin or the things for the clay bucker, but things like a purse and aronike, which is not to be expected, there they disagree with Rabbi Huda, and you hold that there, even though you're chayiv and tamen, things like that, which shouldn't have been expected, it's not considered negligence, and the owner of the fire is going to be exempt on those things that are in the Gadish, even though he made the fire in that person's domain, like the case of the beer you're going to be chayiv, which is to be expected because people put kalim in over there. But regarding things that are unexpected, like putting purses inside a pile of grain, for that the Chum hold that he's going to be potter.